What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 10th, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside, for the first time, my Irish cream, Danny O'Dwyer.
Whoa. Cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop.
Top of the morning.
Never eat a pig because a pig is a cop. Cheers, Governor. Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it. Sorry I'm late. No, like, I'm like a month late for my first.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's nothing like boss. Announcing two hosts at Kinda Funny Live 3 and then having one go on a month-long vacation.
I'm heading home. I'm going to do E3 and then I'm getting the fuck out for a couple of weeks.
So. Where all'd you go?
Oh, man. My wife went to England. We went to London. I lived there for the best part of 5 years. So it's kind of like showing her around. She crammed in as much Harry Potter shit as you could possibly do. Yeah, it was real good. We did the Harry Potter tour, like, of the, like, lot, which they, like, have basically, like, all bunch of, like, Harry Potter stuff. We rented the show.
Oh, did you?
The Cursed Child.
Okay.
Which was really good.
Yeah.
And I think that might be it.
But
it
was okay. But that's a lot of stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Then went to Ireland and saw some cattle.
You were gone for like 17 or 14 days, right? It was something ridiculous. How do you feel? Because I've been out of the game. I went to Missouri for 4th of July, but I left on Friday and then just got back last night. Now, granted, RTX was in there, so I was somewhat connected to video games, but it feels so weird to try to get back in the swing of this right now.
Yes.
I feel like we came back from summer vacation.
I'm like, it's July, Greg.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not even early July. We're in double digit July now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be like there was a nice big 2.5 month gap in the summer where nothing came out. Like, we used to have that January gap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all these little pockets where, like, people in video game sites were like, what are we going to write about?
Yeah, exactly. Bouncing the tennis ball off the wall trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And I come home and it's like, okay, here's like 5 games I haven't played and, like, you know, DLC for Zelda and, you know, a million and one, like, news stories and announcements and, like, everything. It's, I don't know. It's weird playing catch up. Like, I basically spent 3 days just playing a bunch of games and reading news sites and trying to get back. Yeah, which is just so bizarre.
Like,
I guess that's the video game world we live in now.
It is.
So it's a good thing we have a daily video game news show.
That's right. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every day we delve into the nerdy news you need to know about from the video game landscape, get really hands on with it, talk to you about it, and then put it out there for you to consume. Remember, you can watch us do the show live over on twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. We don't use the chat because we're making a polished podcast/YouTube show, but we're going to get stuff wrong. So I need you to be our stat boys, like on PTI, and go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we get wrong. No editorializing. I just want the facts we screwed up. I have a lot of people getting in there and like, well, let me tell you a story and cracking their knuckles. And it's like, that is not what we need at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Remember, Kind of Funny Games Daily posts each and every day on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe. Please, we're a brand new show. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on the podcast services. Maybe you watch just record it live. It would mean a lot if you subscribed in both places, though.
Do it now.
To help those dang numbers.
Do it now.
Remember, a bunch of Patreon perks too. You can go over there. $1 helps.
Patreon.
You know it well.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I got the old stickers. I got people probably screaming at me for using
Who's
the old
that?
Stickers.
Oh, the old school Patreon thing. Of course, support Danny. YouTube.com/noclipvideo. Patreon.com/DannyOdwyer.
Yeah.
But Danny, let's jump into the news of the day.
Let's do it. There's a lot
to talk
about.
Are you ready to begin the show with what is and forever will be?
Don't fuck it up.
The Roper Report.
Good boy.
Time for some news. Getting better, Kev.
He only needed a week off.
Yeah, to really, like, you know, he went and he listened to some Morse code just to make sure he could understand what it's supposed to sound like. Hold on. There are 4 items on the Roper's report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Kev. We're going to start with, I think, the top story of the day. WWE 2K18 is coming to the Switch. They put out a video today, Danny O'Dwyer.
Yes.
Seth Rollins, cover athlete, of course.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, oh, what an annoying-ass video. Did you watch it? It's Seth Rollins. It's like a minute-long video of him holding the Switch, playing it, and then looking up, be like, oh, hey, everybody, I'm Seth Rollins. Here's this cool announcement. It's coming. It never shows the game on the Switch, never shows anything.
Barely shows the Switch. It's like, hey, Seth, you got 5 minutes. We got to shoot a trailer.
Yeah.
It's like literally in the back of the
and
show.
And literally a guy comes in and tries to get him to leave. I mean, it's like, oh, bit. And then he comes back. Don't forget, Switch.
Forgot my Switch.
Handheld mode.
I got to, you know, bring it out.
Let
to
me
the
give
ring.
You the rundown from WWE.com before I jump into why I am terrified of this fucking game. Over on WWE.com, they say WWE 2K18 Switch debut marks the first time in 5 years that a new WWE video game has been released for Nintendo platforms. Thanks to the Switch's on-the-go capabilities, it will also be the first portable WWE game or video game available in 6 years. Rest in peace, PSP. Switch enthusiasts who choose to step into WWE 2K18's ring can expect a flurry of new features in this year's game, many of which, I'm going to highlight that for you, Danny.
Okay.
Many of which were detailed recently in a 2K developer blog post. This includes matches featuring up to 8 superstars, a more expansive backstage arena area, I should say, new weight detection and grapple carry systems, and much more.
What's weight detection?
You know, so like if you're like a little guy, right? You're trying to pick up Brock Lesnar.
Yokozuna. You're like,
exactly. Yeah, you're gonna blow your back. I don't know if the Yokozuna is gonna be in this one.
Sure.
This is in addition to the more immersive My Career experience, an all new online Road to Glory mode that pits your custom superstar against players around the world. WWE 2K18. Well, it goes on all this stuff you'd expect. You can get the pre-order, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, compete with. This is still saying WWE 2K18 Switch players will be able to compete with or against superstars that will make up this year's ever-growing roster. Coming out fall 2017 on Switch. It's going to be on all the PlayStation 4, Xbox One as well. October 17th, 2017.
It's probably a little bit later on Switch, maybe. A couple weeks later on Switch. Or is that what you're saying?
No,
it's saying
worldwide.
It's day and date?
Worldwide release date. Hold on. Worldwide release in fall 2017 on Nintendo Switch, as well as on... Oh, so no, you're right.
Yeah,
they worded it weirdly.
They're trying to weasel out of it.
They got me on that one. Yeah. They are. Well, here's the fucking thing. All right, hold on.
Okay, here we go. You have a lot of baggage for this. I'm surprised.
The DCD... Robert Workman, what up? Wrote in thekindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can, because we need you to be part of the show each and every day, and says, why the heck would Greg be scared of WWE 2K18 when the Nintendo Switch needs as many third-party hits as it can get? Also, hey, Andrea.
Hey.
Now, of course, Workman knew it was you. He responded and said, whatever, it doesn't matter. Danny, as someone who reviewed all the SKUs, of SmackDown versus Raw and all that stuff while I was at IGN, when I was still reviewing, I'm terrified of WWE 2K18 on the Switch because this is exactly the kind of shit the Switch doesn't need. I love the WWE games, right? I enjoy playing them every time they come out for a little bit and doing all these different things. Putting this version on the Switch is just going to make the Switch look like a PS2 to a PS3. You know what I mean? Like, this game is going to... There's going to be something wrong. There's going to be so many things wrong with this game. And the fact that, many of which, the new features in this year, again, it's all wording. New features, many new features this year.
Many of which means...
Not all of the new features that were detailed in that blog post are there. Is that what I'm to understand? Maybe take away from that? Because this is what's going to happen, is I'm telling you now, regardless of what this says, this will not be a completely feature-complete version of what you're getting.
And they're kind of trying to sell it as that.
Like, exactly.
So, okay, rewind 5 years, right?
Okay.
So you're reviewing,
well, six,
I'm guessing,
right?
It was, 6 years?
Yeah, you know, 5 years is the last time it came to
a
platform.
So this was a Wii game. This is Wii U.
Exactly.
Skipped a dude.
Yeah, I don't think they did Wii U ones. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So these were all
WWE All-Stars was, I think, the last one that came out.
So this is back in, like, this is the horror show that everyone had for the Switch, is that what essentially we're going to get on the Switch is hackneyed versions of, like, the real versions of the games.
Sure.
Like the PlayStation and Xbox ones. I'm guessing that's what all the Wii ones were, right?
100%. And it was like, they tried their best, don't get me wrong, and I understand that the Wii had such an audience, you needed to do it. I don't think that's the case with the Switch. I think the Switch is, the fact of the matter with the Switch is that it is a secondary system for most right now. If you own a Switch, you probably own a PlayStation or a PC or an Xbox, and I guess PC doesn't help you here,
right?
But it's the fact of the matter is, like, this goes back to my argument of when the Switch got announced. I was like, I'm all in. This sounds awesome. I think it'd be, in a perfect world, I would love them to say day and date, you're getting Mass Effect Andromeda on it too.
Right.
But I'm well aware that this machine is not a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It can't run those kind of games, and I wouldn't want a dialed down experience. I'm talking in a perfect world to get the exact same game. It'd be amazing. You can't do that here. What should have happened here, if you ask me, is this, and what I think would have blown people away and really fucking moved some units, is the fact of, and I say it over and over again, they need to just understand that the best game they ever made was No Mercy / WrestleMania 2000, okay, / WCW NWO Revenge, right? And make that cartoony, basic grappler there, but like with obviously better textures and everything, like all these different things.
What did you think about All-Stars? That was kind of that.
It wasn't, right? Where it was like, hey, we've got goofy action figures, and we've got over-the-top moves, and they have rainbows coming off and all stuff. And it's like, well, no, like, WrestleMania 2000 was trying to be the wrestling game of that era.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right now, you know, this is an interesting time to announce this, of course, because tomorrow, Fire Pro goes early access on Steam.
That's insane. It's like... Yeah, what a lot of wrestling fans consider to be the best wrestling game.
Exactly. And that's a game that, of course, doesn't hang... Like, here's the thing with what WWE 2K, whatever you want to call it, always hangs its hat on. It is the most realistic looking sports entertainment sim.
Great roster.
Exactly. Great roster. The moves. I mean, like, I, you know,
features
covering it for so long, like that team cares. And I know that it's a Madden syndrome, right? Of like, you put one out and you got 9 months to turn the other one around. Totally. So like, there's always these incremental things. They've heard you before with, like, you know, how long animations take. So they shorten those downs. They put in the physics. They do the weight detection. Like, they're making a sim game there, which is great. And it was going to shine on your PlayStation 4 Pro or your Xbox One X one day in 4K and all this jazz. The problem is, like, if you're trying to do something that looks more real every year, to then take the most real version you've ever made and put it on the Switch means that they're going to have that stiff fucking hair.
Yeah.
Character create, it's going to load forever on character creation. Online has never been the Switch's, you know, great. I mean, we were trying to play on the plane last night, Mario Kart, and it's like, oh, well, ad hoc doesn't go that far. You know, and like, there's all these different things. It's like,
I mean, you were trying to play on a fucking airplane.
Yeah, which something should be easy. All right, I'm in a tube in the air. There's no other signal to pick up. Let me play. Grimecraft and I wanted to play Mario Kart. What's the worst that happens? They get a blip on the radar. It would have been fun. But no, it's the fact of just like, this is going to be a lesser version. And until I play it and I'm proven wrong, which I think you would have done with a trailer today to show me that, if that's really what it is. I just, the excitement I saw on my Twitter feed when I woke up for this today, I think is going to lead to so much disappointment when you see it and you're like, oh. This is the same reason, like, I was happy they stopped making the PSP versions and the Wii versions. Just the fact of like, well, this game never looked that great, and it you played it and you're like, oh, there's things missing here. And like, we won't know until we really get it, obviously.
Yeah.
You're going to get in there and be like, oh, this match type's missing. Oh, these wrestlers are, or not wrestlers probably, but these, you know, interactions you expect are missing.
Yeah, like backstage isn't here or like something like that. But do you think that like game players now are at least weathered to that? Like, nobody's, people are coming to this. Anyone who's like played any of those old games, they've been so used to getting that type of experience. You think like maybe now they're at least like anticipating. It's probably not going to look as good, but like at least it has some unique selling points. Like the fact that you can take it, you know, portable.
Sure.
I'm sure like high school kids are like, that'll be a cool thing to be able to go and play with their buddies and stuff like that.
I wonder if, I think actually if the gap in time has been enough to make people forget that, right?
Right. I mean, I guess 5 years is a long time.
And for a general consumer who owns a Switch and just enjoys it or whatever, do you understand what that is going to look like? Do you know the difference? For if you are just a kid who's like, oh man, I'm in fifth grade or whatever, and I'm going to Switch for Christmas and I want that game for it. Do they really care? Who the hell knows? But I just feel like it's going to be a clunky version based on how clunky the other versions always was, where the ropes don't look good. You know what I mean? Like, that's my concern. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 2K will come out and crush it and it'll be awesome. But
I was surprised by FIFA at E3.
Yeah.
That was the first game I went to play because I thought, okay, let's see how the Switch is able to.
Sure.
Because it's the exact same problem.
Right.
Is that like they tried to make the Wii versions, and eventually what they ended up doing was making specific Wii versions. And the Wii version of Pro Evolution Soccer is like one of the best football games ever made. It's unbelievable. They never went back to it again because it was for those controllers. But I went and played it, and it actually ran pretty good. And
we
played it on a screen, like a big screen. And we immediately, me and my buddy Dennis, went to the PlayStation 4 section to do some sort of side by side. And yes, there was a difference, but it wasn't the same ridiculous like deficit that I'd seen before. So,
sure.
Like,
see, maybe that's comforting. That's comforting because I'm not a developer and I don't know the differences between the Switch architecture and the PlayStation 4. But for me, when it was PS3 to Wii, there were such gaps of like, you know, like less people in the crowd. Like the weird thing for like, again, with a wrestling sim you're trying to make. If I was there, and I know I've said this for years, literally, but if I was there and like I'm talking to WWE, especially right now, all right, I'd be like, here is how well the NES Classic sold. Here's what people are projecting for SNES Classic.
Right.
And here's the Nintendo Switch and how much goodwill is behind this. Right now, if we put up a poll anywhere, hit it under a different name and you put it up, what's the best wrestling game, right? People are going to say one of the, you know, AKI games for N64, or they're going to say Here Comes the Pain on PS2, which I respect either
WrestleMania
way.
On Genesis.
No one's going to say
come on,
come on.
So good.
Or Dwyer. But they're going to say that. And I would be like, so here's what we do. Is like, all Nintendo is nostalgia. Let's double down and do that. Let's make a game that looks like WrestleMania 2000 for the Switch. Mm. Have it be an exclusive. Work out a deal with Nintendo. I don't know how that works, of course. I'm not a businessman. Mm. But there's got to be something there. And I feel like the team could be so small that you could make that work on a financial level and be like, hey, what you love. Because I mean, like, we came from RTX, right? And like, there we did the Screw Attack versus Game Attack versus Kind of Funny versus Mega 64 panel. And of course we played WrestleMania 2000. Yeah. And it's the same thing when we go and there's PAX Wrestling for League of Heels. It's like, you're playing No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone has a soft spot and a memory for those games. And with the amount of Switches out right now, I think that you could easily move the spiritual successor to that and get that in people's hands and have them excited for it in a way that wrestling, you know, WWE 2K18 with Seth Rollins, with all due respect to Seth Rollins, isn't going to get like
my friends
who used to play, you know, WrestleMania with me. They're not going to get on board with this. That's not going to get them.
I wonder if that brings up really, you know, awkward discussions within 2K though, because you basically have, I mean, they are on a very specific path with the WWE games and have been for like the best part of a decade. Like they're trying to make this type of simulated like televisual experience, right? Yeah. So then if they suddenly create an alternative version to that, they're essentially like putting them up against each other.
Yeah.
And not in terms of sales. I mean, in terms of like the sort of public discussion around it. Mm. So essentially what you might have is you might have like one creative director saying, we're going to go this way. And then them putting up what a lot of people have said is what they actually want. And that might be like I can imagine internally that being an awkward situation for people who are there and like wrestle the wheel away from somebody.
I'm
not disagreeing. I think it's a good idea, but
the interesting thing there would be like, well, would that competition finally spur them to actually get the Prime game back on its feet the way people want it to? Because the problem with the 2K whatever games is there's no competition and they are minor upgrades every year.
Yeah.
But it's the same problem with Madden. And it's one of those where they march and speak to such a specific audience that if I'm in there trying to explain to you how I'm going to make this game bigger and better, it's going to be incremental based on how good WWE is doing, how good this is going. I mean, now with a Switch install base, you're going to see more units moved, of course, for this. But I feel like there's something there, even if it was the fact that you gave it a 6-month exclusivity window on this new version that's the throwback, and then put it on PSN and Xbox Live.
Right.
And it's that weird thing of, it's a weird message, I guess, but I feel like, I thought, you know, when they did All-Stars or whatever, WWE All-Stars, that was a weird message too of like, it's these action figures and these epic battles. And it's like, well, this isn't what we're asking for. Like if you were to take that and be like, all right, cool. It is like, it looks like WrestleMania 2000. So it is Cactus Jack and Ric Flair and all these people. Mm. And it's the Four Horsemen and you know, all this WCW stuff you could finally bring in under the one. Right. I feel like that would be the game to be like, hey, are you nostalgic for professional wrestling? Mm. That's where this is.
Which by the way, every wrestling fan, like 80% of wrestling fans are.
Yeah, well,
begrudgingly watching now because of that nostalgia.
Sure. And, well, I mean, that's the big thing, I think, of like with how they're pushing the new WWE 2K18 right now with Seth Rollins. And like, I don't know if you watched the announcement cover athlete video for him or whatever, where he goes in and he basically goes through like the archives of WWE where they have like all these like glass, like Nature Boy's like, you know, jacket and all these different things. And he smashes it and he burns it and he destroys everything in this museum.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the whole thing is like, this is what it is. It plays into his whole King Killer thing, but it's like, it's also playing into the fact that the last few wrestling games have been sold on the back of The Rock and Stone Cold and Hulk Hogan. And it is like, hey, do you remember the Attitude Era? Come relive it in this video game. And it's like, okay, but I'd much rather have it look like that. Cause the problem with when I sit down with somebody and I want them to play WWE 2K whatever with me is the fact that it's a complicated control scheme if you're not into it, right? It is the same as like Madden. And this is the difference, I think, with like WrestleMania 2000 to WWE 2K is the difference between a Tecmo Super Bowl or Blitz to Madden, right? Where it's like, hey, here's this one to jump in. And there's four, strong grapple and weak grapple, and that goes out into four different
Irish whip is this, and then you don't really have to worry about, you know, just any direction on a button, and you're essentially doing something.
Personally, I feel like that's how they should go.
Right.
But they never listen to me. It's funny that I say this stuff year after year for a decade, and no one ever does exactly what I want, with the exception of Patapon coming out soon. Thank you for bringing that back.
Small victories.
Exactly. Danny.
Yeah.
While we were both on vacation last week, I was at RTX and you were doing whatever
you were doing. Yeah, you were on vacation. You were working.
Yeah, whatever. Close enough. I wanted to double back to the PlayStation blog they put up.
Ooh.
And this is number two on Roper's Report, the top PSN downloads for June 2017.
Oh, I love this stuff. It's always so fascinating.
I'm going to run you through the top 10 PS4 games, and then I think I did, the top 10 VR games. Don't really care about PS3. Vita is what you'd expect.
Do they give the stats there for PS3?
Oh, they don't give stats. They just give you the games. They put them up still, what the top downloads were off the PSN.
Huh.
Right now, for PlayStation 4, number one, Friday the 13th, the game.
Okay.
Yes, we continue. How you doing, Jason?
Still haven't played it.
Number two, now this one's interesting. Mm. Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. That's interesting, of course, because it came out on June 30th.
Right.
It had just one day? Can you look at a calendar? Was there a June 31st this year? I forget. But I think it was one day and it got to the second most downloaded thing.
What does that say about the rest of them?
What
does that say about three?
Number three is Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor Game of the Year Edition.
That's because it was like being sold for like 2 cents.
Of course.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anytime you see something weird chart on here, it's always because there was
June 30th was the Friday.
So one day.
Okay.
It just had one. There was no 31st.
I almost bought it. It was $3 Shadow of Mordor on Steam. Yeah. And I went to buy it and I was like, I already own this game. Yeah,
exactly. What a great deal. Number four, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh man, GTA Online. Jesus.
It'll never stop. Number five, God of War 3 Remastered.
All right.
Number six, Battlefield 1. Mm-hmm. Number seven, Horizon Zero Dawn. Number eight, Tekken 7. Number nine, right. Minecraft PlayStation 4 Edition. And number 10, your friend and mine, Rocket League.
Oh yeah.
I've good to see Rocket League hanging in there.
It's a big update as well. So yeah. They added a bunch of stuff to it the past week. I think it's turned 2 years old, I believe, last week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Which it sounds crazy because it feels like it's been around so much longer, let alone the fact of how much it's grown. Where like last night I got home and I was like, oh man, I can still catch a Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar for Great Balls of Fire and turned it on and like they do like the picture in picture and it was still sponsored by Rocket League.
Oh, really?
I was like, God damn, Dunham. God damn. You know what I mean? What a fucking success story for them.
Unbelievable. I played that game more than any other game over the past 2 years.
Wow, really?
Easily.
So, well, you did, of course, the No Clip documentary on Rocket
our first
League.
One.
It was great. Good job.
Thanks so much. It was fun.
Did that how does that start then for you? Is it the fact that you were already a fan of the game and thought it was interesting, or was it?
Yeah, it was that. And also because the story of how Rocket League got to where it was is so funny because it involves a bunch of games that I love, which have nothing to do with cars or football.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically an Unreal Tournament 1999, like fan story, like a bunch of guys who eventually like pitched it to Epic as, yo, you should put vehicles in your game. And then that was Unreal Tournament 2004, which is like the second best Unreal Tournament game because of that mode, because of Conquest.
Yeah.
So it's just a fascinating story. And the game is brilliant. Like, I have not played like FIFA or Pro Evolution much at all. And these are games I played both of them every year for like 15 years since Rocket League came out. I didn't buy them last year. It scratches that itch for me.
Now, this will be an interesting comment because I know it'll catch flack from somebody out there until I explain myself. So let me explain myself. Super excited for Rocket League on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
When I know I just knocked the fact of like, why is this game getting ported? Obviously, Rocket League a little bit different.
Yes.
Not the same graphical overhaul. They're not selling it on the fact of like, hey, look at how real Rocket League looks.
Right.
Rocket League for me, I enjoyed so much in the preview phase of that game. Mm. And then when we finally got it, played it on the first few days, went away for a weekend, came back, and everybody was amazing.
Right.
And there's nothing more like, oh, like I don't know how to be better. Like having it now in a handheld, if I can play it on a plane, I can play it with Kevin when we're killing time doing something around here. Mm. Like, that's exciting. And like the local play, I feel like if we can get good at playing each other again, we'll get me out to actually playing online.
Maybe. It's a tough one, because everyone got good at aerials, and then that basically became the sort of massive thing you had to climb to get over. And the bots in that game aren't great. Like, the single-player stuff, they're not that hard. Eventually, it ends up being, like, you versus three other cars. That's how they do it. Like, the hardest mode is you versus three cars.
Gotcha.
Which is not exactly the right place to be teaching other people to do aerials either, because you're just floating in the air, and there's three of them kicking the ball in. So, yeah, I think that'll be a good shot. And also, graphically, like, it's not that.
I got to see it played for me at E3 or whatever when I swung by and saw Dunham and stuff, and it looks good. Looks like Rocket League, you know what
I mean? More crates. Like, a third place to buy crates, Greg. I've got so many crates.
Okay.
I never buy crates in games. I can't stop. I've never gotten anything good from any of these fucking crates.
But you keep getting them?
Keep getting them.
Yeah.
Keep buying them.
Did you get the team fat flag yet?
I got the no clip flag.
God damn it, son.
Pick it up.
Don't clap for him, Kim. but back to Crash Bandicoot. Yeah. Number two with one day.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that's really good, right? And I wonder what the lead up to this was. What does this mean for Crash? Right. Like, what does this mean for a new Crash Bandicoot? What does it mean for Spyro, as Tim keeps bringing up? Mm. I don't know what to take away. I know it sold really well in the UK. I saw that too. I saw that Activision put out some kind of comment being like, oh, well, we're going to see how this one does, and then maybe we'll see what happens in the future or whatever.
Right.
It's interesting. Do you think we're going to get Crash 4 now?
Or? I feel really weird about these. Like, I think there are some games like Sonic, which are like, they're done. We have passed, and this isn't spiteful or mean. Like, I love Sonic and I like Crash, but like, they were games that controlled in a certain era for a certain reason. And we've seen time and time again that you can't modernize them. And the reason I feel like this one works is because this is literally what people wanted. People don't really want a new version of Crash. They just want to play the old one and they want it to not look like garbage and they don't want to have to pull out their PlayStation 1. Like, that's all they've ever wanted. And I feel like that's the same with like loads of these games. Like, nobody's crying out. I mean, there are the Tim Gettys of this world.
Yeah.
And like, I'd say the same about like Speedball or something, whereas I'd love like new versions of all these games. But what I really want, if I'm honest, or what most people want, is to just have access to them in the way that like every other medium has, music and film. We have this problem in games with accessibility to older games, which makes us crave them more. But if you stick a dollar amount of $60 on a new version of that, it doesn't have that same effect.
Sure.
So like, I'm sure they might take a swing at it now, But like, I would imagine that this would be the highest selling Crash Bandicoot, you know, that they'll have for if they release another three more of them. Like, I just can't see.
Well, I've heard so many good things about Crash Team Racing that I'd like to see someone try to redo that or remaster of that. I never played it.
Cedar was fun when like everyone was making them and it was like not one of the shit ones, because there were some really bad ones.
There were some terrible car racers.
And like Sonic R and things like that, which were like fine.
Now back to your Sonic comment. Have you played Sonic Mania?
No.
Sonic Mania is fun. Like Sonic Mania, and like I'm a guy who grew up a Sega kid, so I, you know, just blindly.
Is that out?
No. It's coming out July something, right. I believe, but you can look it up on the internet. Or you can just go to kindoffunny.com/you were wrong and tell us. But he's already doing it. So
I've seen a bunch of videos of it, and that's basically like maybe the only way I could see a new one working is if it's identical, because it'll scratch that nostalgia itch. But even in terms of gameplay, have you gone back and played Sonic anytime recently?
I mean,
it's fucking impossible to play those games.
Yeah, well, it's just running, and then it's like, okay. But like playing Sonic Mania was the first one where I felt like there was the different paths, and I was like, oh, okay, I understood in a way. As a kid, I don't think I did get. Because as a kid, I was like, how many rings can I get, and let's get through this.
How fast can I complete this level?
Exactly, because you got to go fast.
August 15th.
Exactly. August 15th, thank you very much for that. And then, shout out to Friday 13th, continuing to go.
Yeah.
PlayStation VR games,
ooh.
Top 10. Number one. Arizona Sunshine Launch Edition. Number two, Star Trek Bridge Crew. Number three, awesome, PlayStation VR Worlds. Number four, Until Dawn. Five, Batman. Six, Job Simulator. Seven, Mortal Blitz, which I'm not familiar with. Number eight, Ancient Amuletter, which we talked about coming out recently. And then number nine, Ghostbusters is hiring Firehouse, which I still haven't played because many people are like, Greg, don't do it. It'll break your heart. Because it's like, whatever, $20 for 15 minutes or something. And then number 10, Tumble VR.
Mortal Blitz is a Time Crisis clone.
Oh, okay.
According to this. It's not what I thought, which was a mix between Blitz, the League, and
Mortal Kombat. Of course. Cool. Interesting there. Arizona Sunshine, we did a Let's Play. You can check it out.
It's a fun game.
Kindoffunny.com. Have you played on PlayStation VR?
I played it on Vive.
We played on PlayStation VR, and it was like not that much fun. And
It
was super jittery. And I'm like, oh, it's because of the studio lights. And we turned everything off, and it still wasn't great. And then I put up the thing, and I put up the Let's Play. And that was the thing of like going to the comments to see, am I going to get punched over and over again if I fucked it up?
You fucked up, man.
Everybody was like, I played it on Vive, and that's the way, this is not a great version of it.
That sucks.
Yeah. And then Star Trek Bridge Crew, I haven't played on PlayStation VR, but that was our first party mode on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, and that was a lot of fun.
I got to check that out. That's crossplay as well, right? So Oculus, Vive, and PlayStation VR. I believe everyone's able.
Okay.
Because I heard somebody saying that you can notice the Vive people because they're like, woo, with their hands.
They got their fingers doing all the different stuff.
Like, fuck you, PlayStation.
Yeah, we played. No, that's fine. You can say fuck you, PlayStation. It's fine. We played it, the same thing on PC, I assume, Vive. I forget.
Right.
And it was like awesome doing that. I don't know how it would work as well with the Move wands or whatever, but
yeah.
Good to see people taking chances. I forget. Do you care about VR?
I do. I have a Vive. I'm in. I have to care about VR now. It's in a bit of a weird spot at the moment. It's had its second push, and now we're waiting for the third thing, and it's kind of stalling a little bit. So, I'm interested to see what the next 6 months is going to be like. I mean, there was nothing at E3, basically.
What are you talking about? There was tons of stuff at E3.
Was there?
Yeah, PlayStation put stuff up on their stage, and then I was surprised when I went to Judges Week.
I
went and played Echo Arena. I played all these different VR games. Like, oh, you guys are still making these. I was half expecting going to PlayStation VR press conference and have them say nothing about it.
Right.
Or, like I said, I predicted five at the end there, but we got them, so.
In a weird way, my brain like shuts off the PSVR stuff because I don't own it, which is really weird because I know the games are basically the same.
Yeah.
Like, or there's a lot of crossover. There's like 80% or something of the games are on everything.
Right.
Because they have to be. But for whatever reason, it's the type of thing where I keep going back to price one. And I'm like, but how can I justify a second one? You know, maybe if the price dropped enough, which we'll get to, I'm sure.
Sure.
Because one of them sure enough has.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, my brain, like, in that console worry way, just kind of goes.
And that's what's interesting. I still feel about this VR thing is that I talked about it, I think, with Andrew on one of these shows, the fact that over on the Kind of Funny subreddit, a person had put up a question. It was just like, no bullshit. Like, how do you feel about your VR purchase? And everybody was like, I use it here and there and I like it. Like, it wasn't like, it isn't sour grapes. I feel like the people who had the disposable income and the desire to pick this up, picked it up with no false pretenses of, I'm going to get it and I'm going to get a million AAA. I'm going to pick it up and
use it every week.
Exactly. There's going to be all these different experiences and we're all going to bitch about how, there's too many wires to set up.
You're right.
It's too, such a pain in the butt to do all this. So I don't. That's how I feel. Where I'm just like, I'd love to play some of these games, but I don't feel like dragging it all out right now.
It's one of those things where you don't use very often, but when you do, it is significantly like more enjoyable. There's like a moment to it. It's like going out to a movie.
Yeah.
You don't really like going out to a movie and you're like, there's something about just the whole like, you know,
settling into your chair.
Yeah. Like the experience. And for whatever reason, I mean, a year into owning a VR headset, I still really enjoy that. And like, and it's really silly because the most enjoyable thing you can do with VR is still show someone else VR. Yep. But it's still as enjoyable. I still get a massive kick whenever we have people over and give them a go of Google Earth.
And that is the thing about it, where for every game I boot up, for good or bad, it is that thing of like, oh man. I'm suddenly not in the studio. I'm suddenly not in my living room. I'm in that, you know, Farpoint. I'm in this giant world with this gun. It's like, all right, this is
Far
cool.
Zone of Sunshine was a regular first person shooter. I feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, done.
Whatever. Like, some zombie game. What do I care? Yeah, opening the trunks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, that whole thing is still like super. I mean, it's probably the reason why there's still like a million and one different shooting gallery games coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
it's just so easy,
right?
Kind
of fun as well.
Yeah. And that was the thing at running through a bunch of them at Judges Week before E3, where, I don't remember which one, but it was one of the gun games I did where it's like, oh man, I'm playing, you know, on an Oculus or whatever. I'm using all these, the animations are smooth, the guns are cool. And it's just like, I would never buy this, but it's like, it's fun to play right now. I'm having that experience of like, oh, this is cool and whatever. But it's like, I'm anxious to get over that hump and have, you know, more experience. I think Resident Evil 7 I thought was great.
Right.
Resident Evil 7 still so far is the best PlayStation VR thing.
That's the problem. That's the game that makes me want to buy it. Have you played Super Hot VR?
No. I love Super Hot.
Oh, best VR game. It's unbelievable. I played it right before E3.
Yeah.
And I love Super Hot. It's a totally different game.
Really?
In VR.
It is
the best VR game I've played by a fucking country mile.
That's the one.
Excuse my Irish.
No, that's fine. But that's one though that when they announced that a couple weeks ago, it's coming to PlayStation VR, and I was like, "Fuck yes, done in." Like, because I love Super Hot. Right. Period. We'd done Let's Plays of it back in the day, and so
imagine how cool you remember how cool you felt playing that game.
Yeah,
imagine how cool you feel when you're literally catching the guns and like throwing them and like just going. Whoosh. You just like cut to video of you doing it in your underpants.
You never
want to
watch
like,
that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
punching Kevin in the head by accident.
Not by accident.
Number three on the Roper Report.
Ding, ding, ding.
Mega Maker is a thing. This is Mega Man, but super. It's Super Mario Maker, but Mega Man.
Yeah.
Super Mega Man Maker, I guess is what it would be or whatever.
Maker Faire, right?
Exactly.
You're making
the
Maker Faire. It's like a management game. Where you're,
No. You're making Mega Man the games. You're making Mega Man games here. Yeah.
Mega Man.
I'm going to read.
Mighty number 9?
No. Somewhere calm where he already just rolled over in his bed. I'm going to read GameSpot's synopsis here.
Sure.
There's been a lot of news about fan-made recreations, tributes, or sequels to popular game stories, and recently, a trailer showed off a pretty awesome Mega Man fan game that's coming this week. Called
Mighty Number 9.
Shut up, Danny O'Dwyer! Called Mega Maker! It's meant to be a Mario Maker-esque title for the Mega Man series, and it's currently scheduled to launch on July 15th. From the short look in the trailer, the game seems really cool. It allows players to build levels using the assets from the first 6 Mega Man games, and it contains 12 bosses you can choose from. It has its own Mega Man-like soundtrack as well. You can watch the trailer below. It's over on GameSpot, or you can Google it too. It's a good trailer. The team of fans working on the game cannot charge for it, as that would violate Capcom's copyright terms since it uses Capcom-made assets. Mega Maker's website makes sure to say that the assets are property of Capcom, as well as that the team won't commercialize the game. However, the developer is taking donations through a Patreon campaign to help fund the server costs. They're up to $26 right now. It will be interesting to see how much more they get.
Let's make it 30.
Dude, I'm not even a Mega Man fan, and I watched this trailer, and I was like, huh, this is fucking really cool. Capcom could still shut this down, as we've seen many of the fan games in recent years. Titles that originated as Nintendo games are particularly vulnerable, as Nintendo has shut down Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild 2D Remake, Pokemon Prism, and Pokemon Uranium, among others. Again, this launches July 15th. Danny, what do you think of this idea?
I think it's great, and I've just got them to their next goal of $30.
Oh, you gave him $4 to get him
Fuck
up?
Fuck yeah.
Nice job.
Dunzo. Now watch the Capcom lawyers come a running.
Well, that's the thing is like, I mean, I know Capcom has always had a different take on all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like that was the thing I remember when the first time I ever interviewed Mega Ran and hearing his story, right? Where he got that email from Capcom and he's like, oh fuck. And instead it was like, no, can we work with you on this? Like, this is cool.
Capcom Unity. They're interested in people vibing off of their stuff in a way that like people, especially like, not to paint everyone with the same brush, but especially in a way that we in the West consider Japanese developers to be quite slow on the uptake.
Sure.
Especially, you know, Nintendo. Yeah, so...
And there was that other, the Mega Man, when, Colin always used to tell the story how when Mega Man's anniversary was coming around, the fans were making a game and Capcom totally was ignoring it. And then I think they published the fan-made game, right? Wasn't it?
Oh, really?
I thought so. That sounds familiar to you, Cap?
Oh, goodness.
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I want to say it was Street Fighter Cross Mega Man. Something goofy like that, right, or whatever. And they did it, whatever. I think Capcom will let this one stand because of the trailer. I urge you all to go watch it. Like, it actually looks really good and it's really interesting. And
I didn't
really
know it was
fan made.
When I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, this actually looks like a, you know, cool throwback trailer for what they're making. And it's a real no brainer of a game. Like, I'm not a huge Mega Man fan, but like the idea of those games was always like, let's take different weapon types. Let's take different bosses, enemies, level types, and we're going to mix them around in different interesting ways. And like handing control over to players to do that, like, fits in almost the exact same way the Mario games.
100%, yeah. And that was the thing of watching you immediately get it, of like the shows and putting a platform and then drawing out a line and it follows the line. Like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Especially for a game Mega Man that always wants to test your mettle and can you get through this and can you do it without getting hit. Like, I think Capcom will let it go because I feel like it's not a game they could publish or make, and maybe they could pick it up now, but it is one of those things that's so blatantly a copy of Super Mario Maker. Right. Like, do you want to take that on? Do you need that kind of bullshit? But like, they could just let this go, and hopefully it inspires people then to go back and remember, pick up, you know, the Legacy Collection and now Legacy Collection 2.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like my only worry would be that this was something that they had written on a chalkboard somewhere.
Sure.
Right? As a maybe we could do this, because this definitely does like cut them off in respect of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, I totally agree that this is look like something that they're copying somebody else. But that's so pervasive in games anyway. That like, and Capcom are in a position now where they can probably just take any good idea that works they'd want to run with it.
Yeah.
The ideal situation here is that they actually pick this crew up,
right?
And that they do it. That would be amazing.
and that would be a fantastic way of doing it. Like, all right, cool. Well, you don't have to put this out, or maybe put it out and we'll put out a super version or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah,
I hope they do.
That'd be fun stuff.
Check it out. Then here's another one now. The final story on the Roper Report. There's a Netflix for game launching, and it's called Jump. IGN's Chloe Rad has an extensive piece I want you all to go read over on IGN.com.
Best name in games writing, by the way.
Chloe Rad?
Oh, my
Fuck
goodness.
Yeah. I'm going to do some cherry picking, though, read sections of it real quick, too. It's a lengthy one, so feel free to lay back, get a cocktail. Wait, how early is it?
Tell us a bedtime story.
It's a Monday thing? All right, here we go. A new on-demand subscription-based video game service called Jump is preparing to launch, offering an initial library of 60 to 100 indie games playable for a flat monthly fee of $9.99 per month. After a closed beta period running between now and July 24th, with a sample library of 10 to 20 games, the full service will offer unlimited ad-free playtime for its, quote, highly curated library, with about 10 new games added each month for Windows, Mac, Linux, HTC Vive, and Oculus Rift. Jump includes all the standard features of a Netflix or Spotify-style service, including a way to browse recently added games, recently updated games, games with new content, and sort games by genre. Leaderboards, achievements, cloud saves, matchmaking, and multiplayer are all handled through the third-party service called PlayFab, which would most notably allow your saves to carry over onto new devices.
Ooh.
Here's where it gets interesting, Danny.
It's already interesting, but continue.
Unlike most on-demand gaming services, which suffer from poor latency due to their reliance on cloud streaming technology, PlayStation Now, Jump uses a web-based technology that allows them to launch the games directly in the Jump client. That way, games don't need to fully install on a user's hard drive, and instead run locally by only pulling the assets they need. That's huge.
That means that it's downloading the game, but like piecemeal?
Yeah, okay. as you need it. Like, right. It's going to be a little bit ahead of you, I assume, getting it down.
So the final cutscene will come.
You get there, just buffering. The Jump CEO said in the article, quote, "We work with developers specifically to make sure they're bringing their game to us in the right time in their life cycle. We want them to run their premium sales cycle on Steam or Xbox or wherever. And once those sales dip off to a certain point, then it's a better time to bring it over to us. Revenue is added up according to playtime for an individual game, which the CEO estimates to be about 25 to 50 cents per 1 hour of player user time or playtime per user." Quote, We take just 70% of the full revenue, and we pay that to the developer based on the amount of time that their game got played over all the total minutes of gameplay.
So they take 70% of the revenue and that 70% gets split?
I think that's what he's saying. I think it's a weird wording. I'm going to read it again. We just take the 70% of the full revenue and we pay that to developers based on the amount of time that their game got played.
Yes. So sounds like their cut's 30.
Jump takes 30, developers get 70. They took 70, we just take 70%, no big deal. This is another guy who I didn't get his title written down, but Peterson said that. It brings the issue of Steam refunds in the gray market, Steam keys sold on third-party sites costing developers money. Quote, with Jump, there's no potential scenario where a user could play for 2 hours and then just refund it. The developer gets paid no matter what.
Right.
What do you think, Danny?
Ooh, I have some like feelings about this. I'm like a big... I'm very anti like the race to the bottom that we see with all media, and especially with games, I think, because games take small team, like small games especially, take small teams years of their life.
Yeah.
And you know, right now the indie marketplace is a complete hellscape because
it's overloaded with games.
Totally. It's become so much easier to make them. College graduates are now using indie games as a way of building their portfolio instead of what was usually the way of they would join a major studio and get some experience that way. So it's kind of like flooded the marketplace in a way that is great for us because it means that the cream of the crop is incredible, but really difficult for indie devs. So when I see what is essentially, Spotify is a bad deal for most artists. It's really good for for people who have old catalogs, which they are not monetizing, or they're monetizing through regular radio licensees. And it's good for some of the bigger ones as well, although also sometimes not great for them in the case of all the Taylor Swift stuff. But for the majority of musicians, it's not particularly great at all.
Yeah.
Even worse than radio, which has gotten really terrible. So that's, I feel like, is not great. And then when I look at something like Netflix, again, it's really good for long form big series, which is what most of the bread and butter on Netflix is. For individual movie developers and people who are putting out indie movies, it's not really great at all either. So when I see something like this, I'm like, okay, we've created basically the same marketplace that doesn't benefit those, but they're only focusing on indie games.
Yeah.
And I was looking at some of the games, I couldn't really see exactly which ones, but I was watching some of their trailers to see what games they were talking about, and these were like the games that they're launching with. I haven't seen them all yet, so I can't say for sure, but from what I looked, they didn't look like very notable indie games that I would have maybe bought and would have considered playing.
Yeah.
So I feel weird about it because I like the part where he says, look, we're not trying to take away from their first sales cycle.
Yeah.
That's super important. The traditional way for many indie games to then get secondary sales is to wait whatever the amount is. I think it's something like 2 months before they can change their price on Steam again and then push themselves into a sale or use the summer sale, for instance, to get a bit more promotion that way and get more. And you will find that a lot of indie devs sell more in their first sale than they did at launch.
Yeah.
Because
now you've got word of mouth, right? The fact that this game came out, people really liked it, but I didn't want to invest the $20 in it. And now, you get there and you're, it's only $10 now. I've heard enough about this. I know.
Yeah, because you've had like all the evangelists who bought it on day of launch or week of launch have been talking about it for 2 months.
Yeah. What's interesting about this program for Jump is the fact that I like what they're saying, but I feel like expectations might be out of whack. And the fact that it's going to be, okay, cool, I'm getting it. But the way they're describing it, is the fact of like, literally when you've exhausted all your other options for a game, bring it to us. And it's like, well, if I'm signing up for it, are people, if I'm signing up for Jump and I know it's like this indie game Netflix, great. Mm-hmm. But I get in, all these games are 5 years old and they are stuff that like I either played already or I never was interested enough to do it. Are you going to give that $10 a month every time? Because it's like Xbox Games Library, right? I think that's a really great service that they're doing, right? And
I like PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
You know, it
PlayStation
doesn't
Now
work
needs to fix some
things.
Some
of the times.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I think PlayStation Now is so nickel and diming you of like, do you want this? And then, okay, blah, blah. Whereas Xbox Games Pass, right? It's so easy of just like, hey, here it is. Download these games. And again, you're downloading to your system. You're not having to worry about streaming and latency and all that jazz. For that, it makes more sense in the fact of, hey, here is this back catalog of stuff you might have missed and that we think is cool and worth it and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's interesting if I missed part of the generation or if I'm just getting into games. Like, I think most people, the weird thing about the Xbox Games Pass is just the fact of it's such a cool idea on paper, but then I just don't know how many of us would use it or need to. If you're watching this show, you're so into games, like, I guess it's possible that you're going to see stuff on there and be like, oh, here's a bunch of like mid-tier games or things I heard good things about, but I never want to invest any real money in. So why not jump in and do it?
But like, look at video game playing in 2017, or like the patterns that we have as consumers and also players of games, and look at what happened to mid-tier games. Yeah. I mean, look what's happening this year. We've got like a half dozen different games that require you to play like 60 plus hours that have already come out this year. Like, none of us are like looking for a game to squeeze in.
Man, I got
some
time to kill. Right. You know what I mean? What can I play this weekend? There's nothing out.
And what's happened is games have basically created smaller game experiences that fill in those gaps. So you've got your big long games, and then for a lot of people, you've got games like, for instance, Friday the 13th,
yeah,
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Rocket League, games where you can jump in and play, like, I'm going to knock one out in like 20 minutes,
yep,
and then maybe I'll go do something else. So like, the way we play games is about playing the best games all the time, but finding where they like slot in. Like, none of us are like looking for smaller games that we wouldn't have played otherwise. The only reason I can see this working for some people is if, for instance, you had like, you know, a young, you know, daughter or son who wants to play games, and you could just go, here's $10 a month, sure, you're on this service, play whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because then the expectation of a younger player is probably not as high, and variety, I think, when you're a child and you have all that spare time, is probably a lot more valuable than it is when you're
right,
an old crony like us and we just want to have the best thing all the time.
And that's the whole thing of like, even when, you know, I'm in college and I'm thinking about when I had, you know, no disposable income or whatever.
Right.
Sure, I'm missing games that are coming out, and I'm like, I always heard good things, but then it was the thing by, I was still investing my $60 into something I really wanted to play, and like, they were immediate experiences. So if it is, I'm a college student nowadays and I have $10 to spare, am I giving it to Xbox? Am I giving it to these guys? Am I trying to play these games, or right, am I hoarding those $10 to get to the point where, hey, I can buy Persona 5, or hey, I can buy, you know, the next big thing this fall?
Because there is no meaningful alternative to what a lot of us used to use, which was like Blockbuster or Gamefly or something.
Yeah.
Which was great. Which is like, great, I'll just, you know, as long as I get there first thing on a Friday, or I guess Tuesday for you, I'll stick in my, you know, £6 and I'll be able to get this game for a week.
Calling Blockbuster, like, hey, do you have?
You got any copies? They're like, shut up, we don't care about video games.
Yeah, exactly.
This will be your end.
I'll put you out of business one day. Danny?
Yes.
Do you know what's coming out today?
I do, because there's a list in front of me.
What is that list called, Danny?
I don't know.
It's the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every day.
My throat hurts. I wasn't willing to take it on the first.
I got no upper register from screaming at RTX all weekend.
Okay.
So like, if I,
you gotta start lower.
I gotta stay right here.
Official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every day.
Out today, Anti-Hero on PC.
Anti-Hero for if you're in Europe.
I put another one on there, but that's tomorrow. I'm very excited for this Fire Pro, so I put it on there, but that's tomorrow. No, it's the 11th. Everybody hold your horses.
I couldn't believe it when you wrote that down. I thought that was like, that's like the default list you put in when you read the running order the first time.
No, I got so excited because I knew like it was this week. List. Yeah, right, exactly. I wrote it inside and forget.
Fire Pro Wrestling.
Then for new dates for stuff to keep you updated, Neo DLC is coming out July 25th. Star Wars Battlefront 2's open beta is October 6th, but it's the 4th if you pre-order. Thimbleweed Park.
Ooh,
Ron Gilbert's motherfucking game coming to PlayStation 4.
I think on PC.
Did you play it?
I played like the first hour or so.
Yeah.
And I liked it.
Yeah.
I've just not gone back to it.
PlayStation 4, August 22nd. I'm very excited about that because when they hit me up like, hey, we have review code for Xbox One. I was like, great, give it to me.
Yeah.
And it was like a million things were out, obviously. Right. So I didn't play it. But I was like, I'll get to it. And now it's on PlayStation 4. I'm like, oh, I'll just wait.
Like everything I super wanted on Switch.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
It's a great
game.
That
was my thing
game, too,
with PlayStation 4. Even I was like, is it Vita? Because it could run on a Vita. Text be small. And then Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 is coming to Nintendo Switch on September 22nd. Bandai Namco says.
Sweet.
Deals of the day. You mentioned this earlier.
Oh, what a deal.
Over on Amazon, you can get the Oculus Rift and its touch controllers for $399.99, $400. Usually it's $600.
Yeah.
So that's a $200 price cut for you.
That's pretty good.
Go jump there.
It won't go lower than that.
Now, do you have the Vive? You don't have this.
I have the Vive, but I use the touch controllers. We interviewed Palmer Luckey, and I did a demo of when they had the original ones, where they were doing the black box.
Yeah,
it was the most amazing thing I've ever done.
Really?
So they are better than the Vive controllers.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, the Vive is like a grand all in because you got lighthouses and all that stuff. Yeah. I'm not sure what else you'd need to buy with this to get it to work. Maybe you need to get light. The camera probably is maybe not involved in this to do the room space stuff. But yeah, that's amazing. $400. That's, you can't really, you know, you could buy an Xbox One X for that. Could you even? Not as 500? How much is that?
I don't know. Xbox One X? Oh, Xbox One X, yes, 500 bucks.
500 bucks? 500 bucks,
yeah. You can't. It was like, what's the most outrageous price point? It's that price. Yeah, that's the price point it is. Let's jump into reader mail.
Cool.
Mail call. See what you guys have to say. Remember, of course, you need to be part of this show. I need you to go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. There, you can leave your questions each and every day. I gather them each and every morning. So whatever the news is, make questions about that. You can also leave your bad PSN names. You can leave your Xbox Live names if you need somebody to play with. But right now, we're going to jump into the questions. Where do I want to start, Danny?
I like that first one because he mentioned my name instead of calling me Andrea like that last asshole.
Fucking workman. All right, we'll start there. Majid says, hey, Greg and Danny.
Hey.
Finally. Finally that you're here. I don't hear you guys talk about Pyre enough. What's the excitement level for Supergiant's game? What's the excitement level for Supergiant Games' upcoming indie darling, hopefully? I'm stoked for it and plan to get it day one. Glad to have Kinda Funny Games Daily back in my routine. We're happy to be back after a week off. Pyre is that thing where I forget about it all the time.
Right.
And we did a Let's Play of it, and I see it every PAX, and I'm like, I'm in. I love Supergiant.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, that looks awesome.
Totally. I'm the same. Transistor was one of my favorite games that came out that year. I got a big poster of it in my room.
Yeah.
Love the soundtrack. I adored it. I hadn't played Bastion really at all.
Really?
So I think I enjoyed Transistor way more than most people did.
See, that's the thing, is I felt like there was that breaking point where like I was a huge Bastion fan. Right. Still am. You know what I mean? When it came back to Vita, I played it again. And it was that
he's overpowered, but it's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it was fun to play. And then it was like, oh, Transistor came out. And I was super stoked for it coming up to it. And then when it came out, it was the same thing. It happens to me all the time. Put in like 3 hours. And then got distracted and came back and couldn't remember how to play really. And I was like, I liked it enough.
It was
and I did, I'll get back to it one day. And I've never gotten back.
Never,
to
no
it.
Chance. Exactly. It's one of those games that's like a little bit outside my comfort zone. So I like plowed through it to make sure because I knew I wouldn't finish it if I hadn't otherwise. But Pyre is like a totally different type of game.
100%.
It's like a weird like football.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a sport RPG element to it, RPG in the story about it. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, I'm into it, but I just, it's one of those games where it's just like, all right, Blackout. Same thing with fucking Below. I don't know what the hell's going on with Below, but don't tell me anything else about it till you have a release date, and then I'll play it. Because I don't want to know anymore. I don't need to see anymore.
I forgot that wasn't there.
Every time I see
Nathan Vella, come on.
Every time I see Vella, I give him shit for it. And he's like, oh, I had a kid. I'm like, whatever.
Stop having kids.
DH Canada wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFG just like you can and says, should multiplayer betas occur closer to or further away from the game's actual release date? Or do you believe it's fine either way? Both the Battlefront 2 and Destiny 2 betas give the teams a little over a month to work on anything found during the beta before the game launches.
There's like two types of betas. These are marketing.
Yep.
This is
are demos.
Yes.
This is the demo of why you should play this game.
And we're not saying that like they're not going to add in feedback.
Yeah.
But it's a totally different kettle of ballparks to say, I don't know. Let's look at early access games even. Like they're ultimately betas. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, the way that game's getting shaped is based a lot on feedback from players. Mm-hmm. But then like other, you know, betas that you get, like they come out a year before or like 6 months before. Trying to think of like things like Overwatch, for instance.
Sure.
Like that was a good, you know, situation where the team was essentially all in on reacting to what was going on, and then they were applying patches, doing feedback, doing sort of Q&As and stuff with the community at the same time. So they're two different things.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that the word beta has become this sort of like anything before the game came out kind of thing. But I think once you have that expectation of like ultimately the game you play a month before comes out in the Battlegrounds beta or Battlefront beta or Destiny is like that's 99.9% of the game you're going to get.
Yeah. And that's the thing why it's like with these betas, I so rarely touch them.
Right.
Because I just don't want the game spoiled for me. You know what I mean? I don't need to play. I did with back in the day, the DC Universe Online beta, which was like a rough thing, but it was the same thing of finally getting the game and having to play through that 20 hours of content again. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's kind of sucks.
All over again. I'm the exact same. I've had that. Like, it depends because some games, obviously, that doesn't matter so much.
Sure.
But like, when Overwatch went back in and I got hit back to zero, it was like, oh, I got unlocked.
Exactly. And that, but it's a really interesting thing. And I think it's lost a little bit in the narrative. But I remember Destiny having such a crazy reveal of like, oh my God, Destiny. Right. And then I always felt like Destiny kind of lost some of its momentum.
Right.
And then they put out their beta and I played it and I was like, holy shit, this game's awesome.
Right.
And suddenly I was stoked for Destiny.
So
and
it works.
It does work. Yeah. It definitely fans the flames and it gets people talking and it gets people excited, especially when it's something new and different. And for Star Wars, people will be all over it want to do it.
And they need to stress test servers and stuff like that as well.
Which never works, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm so sick of that being the excuse for betas. It's like, well, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You need to put these damn things out and this always blows up on launch day anyway. Yeah.
You want it to not work almost. Yeah.
But remember, Destiny 2, we'll be playing here launch day, me and Andy.
When's it out?
Why do you keep doing that to me?
Sorry.
No, I want to say September. Look it up, but I want to... don't tell me. Okay, I'm thinking September 7th, but this is a good test.
Prices ran... Oh, God. What if I told you September 7th was a... I'm guessing a Wednesday.
Then I guess I would say September 6th.
It's on September 6th.
It is September 6th?
Yeah.
I was close, though. That's all that really matters, right?
Let me check if it was a Wednesday. That was impressive.
It was in October, for sure, like Danny said.
Did I say October?
Yeah, go back on vacation. You know what I mean?
September 6th is a Wednesday. I don't know. Games are weird now.
They are weird.
Put them out whenever you want.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People are putting out things on Friday now out here in the U.S. I don't like that one bit.
Yeah!
I don't like that.
Ready for the weekend.
I like it on Tuesday, torturing myself.
How am I supposed to leave work early on a Tuesday?
I know, right? Go get this game played. Usually it was like, you know, you do it and then maybe you'd gotten the monkey off your back by Friday. Right. You could still go out. You could still do something. Now you're shutting down.
Did you work in retail?
I was a cashier at Walmart for a summer.
Okay. So the worst thing I can possibly think of is going into work on a fucking Monday and having the games coming out the next day. Because a Thursday in like the game, I worked at a GameStop before, is like the worst day because that's when all the boxes
you
come in.
You see it all,
and
yeah.
Take all the discs and imagine on the Monday.
No.
It's upsetting.
No, that's no good. That's no good.
Retail's the future.
It is not the future. That's 1,000% not correct. The Cal G wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFG with the final question of the show and says,
make it a good one.
For years, I would hear how people preferred the DS for its bite-sized gaming experiences. Let the Cal G talk.
Sorry, the Cal G.
I'll start again out of respect for the Cal G. For years, I would hear how people preferred the DS for its bite-sized gaming experiences and how it was perfect for their commute. They didn't want a AAA console-style game like God of War on their PSP while they were on their way to and from work. And I get that. I didn't either. Fast forward to 2017, and now people are celebrating how they can play the new massive open-world Zelda game on the bus/subway/airplane. What changed? This isn't a Sony versus Nintendo thing. It's a console game on the go thing. I think at the end you get it.
Yeah.
It's a console game on the go thing.
Zelda is a game you play in 5-minute chunks. It's not The Witcher. It's not God of War, which is like a linear action game where you're race to the end. It's not Fallout where you're doing quests that last 25 minutes and have lots of story. Zelda is a game where you're basically like uncovering shrines, completing the shrines, which takes like 5 minutes, wandering around. There's very little like in terms of actual like story and chatter and things like that. You're not engaged in these types of things.
Where I took a giant Persona break and I'm coming back to it and I'm coming back like, what was I doing and what was the story and why was I mad at this guy?
You can't pick up Persona for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can pick up Zelda for 10 minutes. The fact that you don't, the fact that we end up playing Zelda for like 4 hours in a row is because it's one of these games that is like, oh, I'm going to go here. It's basically a game of shiny things getting put up in your face and you deciding which one you want to do.
Yeah.
So I think that's why it works, is that it's not like a traditional open world game in the sense we think of things like, you know, Morrowind or The Witcher or, you know, Skyrim or Fallout. It's not that type of experience where you're like, you know, that's like super difficult and has lots of buttons and has lots of things going on and multiple quests and all that. Like, what are you really, what quests are you on in Zelda? If you're ever on a quest, even to like get things or do things, you're just fast traveling around the map. It takes like 5 minutes to complete anything in that game.
Well, if you know, right? Because there's always the weird thing of like, you're going to look for this guy and he's going to say this, but he could be anywhere. I'm like, ah, geez.
So I think it's that thing where like, instead of a game, like if you went back to Persona, you're wondering, okay, where am I? What quests am I doing? What do I have to complete? In Zelda, you jump in and you're like, what was I doing? It doesn't matter. I'm going to go over there. And I think that's why it works.
I think for the bigger question of like, why are people excited for the Switch in AAA sense, in DS and bite size, and that was the argument in PSP not, is the fact that, and I think you said it's a console on the go, console game on the go thing.
Yeah.
In the fact that it's not even a console game on the go, it's a console on the go. Jumping back to the first news story from Roper's Report, right? When they put this here, thanks to the Switch's on-the-go's capabilities, it will also be the first portable WWE game available in 6 years.
Right.
Even though I play my Switch primarily in handheld mode,
me too,
I don't think of it as a handheld.
Right.
And that's the thing, is like Nintendo, you know, when you're talking about the DS versus PSP, it's the fact that you played the PSP knowing you're playing a watered-down console. This isn't going to be as powerful as my PlayStation 3, then eventually PlayStation 4 or whatever. Or, I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying. But it's not going to be powerful as my most current PlayStation. Applying it to Vita. But it's the same thing with Vita, where it's like, this is always going to be the redheaded stepson. It's you're never going to give it all the attention and love it deserves. It's never going to be this thing. But Nintendo, the reason people are stoked about this on some level is the fact that, hey, this is all we got. This is the console, and you can play it however the fuck you want, but this is what it is and how we're going to do it. And that's what people are excited about is the fact that right now, if my PlayStation 4 could be taken with me on the go, and I'd be like over the moon about it more than I already am about trophies and PlayStation. But it'd be like that thing of like, for a life that is like, you're going on the road for 2 weeks. Right. I'm on the road for 10 days straight. Like, I love having the Switch with me, and I love being able to come home and plug it back in, because it's the exact opposite of what we just talked about. And the fact of, I would fucking be cruising through Persona right now if Persona could go with me everywhere, but Persona can't. And that's why Persona 4 was such a great solution on the Vita. But Persona 5 is me anchored to my PlayStation 4 and TV for 90 hours, which is really hard for me to do in this day and age, with the exception of Friday the 13th, where I make up all sorts of time. But Friday the 13th is a different experience, because I can sit there and, you know, talk to Jen or do whatever and also fuck around in this game and not have to worry about, like, wait, why are they mad? And what's going on? Oh, I got to make a choice. Who's best girl? You know what I mean? Like, it's a different experience.
Totally. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, which is that, like, Nintendo are bringing their A game to this. And also, like, Nintendo's first party A game, like, is better than Microsoft and Sony's first party A game. So it's like the best of both worlds.
Well, Sony's first party A game is pretty good.
Horizon Zero Dawn worked out because they took the leash off Gorilla for the first time in forever.
Sure.
We didn't get another Killzone.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Yeah. Do you think Nintendo's first party game is better than Sony's first party?
I think they're... Yeah, I'd say so.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I think their level of quality... Don't get me wrong, I mean,
Nintendo first-party quality, it's amazing. Like, they do a lot of great stuff. But then it is just an argument of, like, there's so many Sony first-party studios, I think, and usually they're pretty on point.
So maybe it's a median quality over amount of quality.
Okay.
I'm aiming, you know.
I see what you're saying.
With a Nintendo game, you're always like, this is probably going to be pretty good.
Sure, okay, yeah. Kirby looks great.
Double Dash is a really good Mario Kart game.
Yes, it is.
I don't know why people give you shit over
Thank you very much.
It's like a
a lot of these motherfuckers are Fran Mirabella dick suckers out there. You know, they're just like, oh, Fran can't be wrong. Fran was wrong with the 7.9. Never forget.
What was
Peter
your first?
Brown is wrong with his 4.0 for Friday the 13th. There are review scores I will die for now. What was my first?
Yeah, what was your first?
Mario Kart Double Dash.
It was?
Yeah.
Yeah, but might have been one of my first.
Probably the reason why we love
your first
it so
Mario
much,
Kart's
right?
Always your favorite. Yeah.
Well, it's also just because it was. So, I mean, like, I felt the controls were so much better. It was just a better 3D space. You know what I mean?
And having the two item thing was always really interesting.
Going back and trying, like, because that was the thing is, like, you know, the GameCube in our college house is owned by my friend Kyle, and every so often he'd go upstairs and just play 64 Mario Kart with our other roommates too. And I'd go up there and try to play, and I'm just like, this is clunky as shit compared to what we're playing downstairs. Yeah. I can't do it.
Great battle modes. And you got rid of the red shell problem. Just always have a green shell.
Yep.
Always have Wario or Waluigi, perfect team in that game, hanging on to a green shell. Donzo.
I was using babies, but no big deal. Danny, it's time to squat up.
All right.
Which means I need you to go over to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell me what we screwed up today.
I'm already there.
And if these kids are editorializing, just ban them. Just ban each and every one of them.
No. Want me to go?
I don't think you have that power. No, I'm going to squat up first. You give a read through, and that way you know what we actually got right and wrong.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, of course, you can write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and tell us who you want to squat up with. I'll need your name, then your PSN name, your Steam name, whatever the hell name it is, what game you're playing, and the reason why people should come squat up to help you out. This is probably my favorite squat up
so
far.
This is amazing.
This squat up comes from James G. James G is looking for friends on the PlayStation 3.
James G is literally the perfect name for what's about to happen.
James G needs help. I'll give you his PSN name here at the end, but he needs help on PlayStation 3 with this. And he says, I know this one is a long shot, but did anyone play 50 Cent Blood on the Sand on PS3? Probably not. The first 50 Cent game, Bulletproof, wasn't very good on PS2. And by the time Blood on the Sand came out, 50 Cent's mass appeal was on the decline. But if you did play this game, I'm sure you are aware that there was a surprisingly good third-person score-based shooter. Anyways, I'll cut to it. I want to play through the game for the third time on the hardest difficulty. However, I have never played through the game in online co-op as, parentheses, funnily enough, I can't find anybody else with a copy. So I figure this would be the best way of finding someone to join me in my third playthrough of this masterpiece. Thanks. Kind of funny fam. Hashtag make 50 Cent Blood on the Sand 2. I remember 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
Yeah.
Eric Brudvig and Hillary Goldstein were obsessed with this back in the day at IGN. And they would, grenade, motherfucker! They'd yell around saying that because that was like one of the lines.
Which is the one with Bitch, Where My Skull? Remember?
Oh, this is it.
This is it.
Yeah,
okay.
You're running around looking for golden skulls or whatever in this game.
Diamond skull.
Yeah. So now if you want to play with James, I'm going to read you His PSN name here.
Strong PSN. It's the type of PSN name you would get from somebody who's playing this game.
Exactly. It's Kill It Bang Forever, I believe. But it's with a C. So it's C-I-L-L-I-T Bang Forever. Which for a while I was like, Clit? No. And then I was like, Sillit Bang Forever? I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but this C-I-L-L-I-T.
I can literally tell you if you want.
Number four ever.
This is why you need a European on the show once in a while. Sillit Bang is the name of a popular like toilet cleaning like spray. And there's this guy called Barry Scott who does like commercials for us.
Sure.
He's like, I'm Barry Scott and this is Sillit Bang. And it became like basically a meme in television advertising. And you need to watch the Sillit Bang commercials.
Okay, I'll go look at it.
I actually thought it did say Kill It Bang, but then when I read it, I was like, my European part of my brain lifted up again.
Okay,
this guy really loves Sillit Bang.
Your European spider sense went up.
Exactly, yeah.
The numeral four in there forever.
Shout out to Barry Scott.
Nanny.
All right.
What did we get wrong?
Mm-mm-mm. Not too much.
Okay, good.
All right, first one. Snarky Starky says, Greg asked if there was a June 31st this year. There is never a June 31st, even on leap years.
Thank you. Thank you, Trevor. Little fact for it.
Street Fighter, Mega Man Cross Street Fighter. Remember that
Mega
came
Man
up?
Cross Street Fighter. Okay.
Yes, a bunch of people talked about it. I'm going to do this one for Alan McAdams, I believe it is. Mega Man X Street Fighter Cross Street Fighter was created by a Singaporean fan developer Seo Zong Hui, I think it is. Initially developed as a fan game and later received support from Capcom, who assisted in the production of the game. Street Fighter Cross Mega Man was released as a free download from Capcom Unity on December 17th, 2012. It celebrates the 25th anniversary of both Capcom's Mega Man and Street Fighter franchises. Nice work. And the last one comes in from Capitalist Pig, who kind of looks like John Vignacchi.
Very much so.
Right? I'd say it. Destiny 2 is coming out on September 6th, 2017 for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC on October 24th.
I feel like you pulled the trigger too quick on that. We got that.
Yes. Yeah,
but thank you for keeping it honest and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, July 10th, 2017. What'd you think? Your first show?
That was fun.
Yeah, right?
Let's do it four more times this week.
Yeah, exactly. Andrea's on vacation now, too. I think it's next week. Everyone's officially here in the real like schedule of how it all works. But yeah, thank you for coming through.
Pleasure. Thanks
so much. Of
course,
support Danny over on patreon.com/Danny O'Dwyer. Support him on youtube.com/noclipvideo. Support us on kindoffunny.com. You can go there. Please, like I said before in the beginning of the show, Kind of Funny Games Daily, a brand new show. We need your support. So please subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Rate it over on iTunes. Subscribe there. Even if you're just watching us when we do it on Twitch, do it that way. And of course, if you could all give us a dollar on Patreon, that'd be as well too. Danny, it's been a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Then we handshake. That's the thing we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.